My sermon title this morning is Faith in the Resurrection. Satan thought he had won. When they rolled that stone in front of the grave, Jesus was dead, and Satan thought he was gone forever. But in heaven, they began to count. One. And then on Sunday, they reached three. And down came the angels, rolled the stone away, and there was a great earthquake. And Jesus rose victorious on that day over sin, over death, over the grave, and over Satan. He defeated him in that one move of being resurrected from the dead. The greatest event, the most crucial event ever to occur in the entire universe. Because without that event, we would still be lost in our sin and headed for a lost eternity. But he arose. Hallelujah. Come on, he arose. Shout hallelujah. Jesus came up from the dead. As I said last week, I want to reiterate, this book, the Bible, is not a book written by men about God. It's a book written by God about himself, using man. And it's a book written by God about man. Say this out loud with me. This book was written about me. I want to find out what it says about me. All right. So we're going to look at some scriptures this morning. And that's the reason I wanted you to know that this book is holy scripture. This is God speaking, and everything in it is true and factual. So let's begin reading. Quite a lot to get through this morning. I want to read about the resurrection. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 28, beginning of verse 1, which is one of the great chapters about it. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Dead on their feet. I don't know if they were stayed up dead, but I think they probably would have fallen down. Then the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." And as we sang this morning, why are you seeking the living amongst the graves? He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead. That is twice the angels from God said he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And they ran to bring his disciples word. The women were the first evangelists. The one to carry the message of the resurrection was woman. Can I have the woman say amen?
Amen.
And all the men say, oh my.
Oh my.
Just in case you thought women weren't supposed to preach. Not included in my notes. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. Isn't that what we ought to be doing and what we have done this morning? Rejoice. So they came and they held him by his feet and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. I want to tell you something. Those words from Jesus, you need to take to heart. Because there's going to be many times where your faith is going to be challenged. And you need to remember, Jesus said, after rejoice, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there I will see them. Now, while they were going, the gods woke up. Some of the gods came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And when they assembled the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. I want you to know something. The gods, the chief priests, the elders, and the soldiers all heard that Jesus was raised from the dead, that the resurrection had occurred. Just in case you thought the chief priests didn't know. They did know. They chose to make a lie out of it. God did not leave them out of the truth. He told them the truth. In fact, the soldiers saw it. Now, this is what the elders and the chief priests conspired together. They said to the soldiers, Tell the people his disciples came at night and stole him away while you slept. And if it comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and they did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews even to this day. Now the 11 disciples went away to Galilee and to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Would you say this, some doubted? Some doubted. Say it one more time, some doubted. Some doubted. Turn and tell your neighbor, some doubted. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? Seeing is not believing. I want you to imagine this. The very disciples who he walked with, he's now resurrected and he's standing in front of them. And some in that group go, I don't think you're for real. I think this is not happening. I'm hallucinating. This can't be. I can't believe what I'm seeing. You see, listen carefully to me. Believing in Jesus Christ as Savior and deity is a decision. It is not based on your 5 physical senses. It is not based on feeling. It is based on making a decision to believe. That's called repentance. It's called metanoia. It's making a decision to believe. I've heard people, when I've invited them to receive Jesus, to pray with me, and they said, I'm not ready. I'm not ready yet. So what do you need to do then to get ready? You need to sin a little more? What do you need to get ready? You've got to come to a place where you make a decision to believe. See, those of us who have believed, we see Jesus every day. We see him in our heart every single day. And we worship him just like these disciples who saw him on that day. We worship him. We don't have to see him physically because we see him in our heart. Isn't that the truth? Because we believe, we see him. Now, I want to tear apart this argument that the chief priests and elders came up with. I think it's a ludicrous thing, and they paid money for it. You know, they paid money for really a bad deal. So, I mean, if I look at this, and let's go read what they said. Tell the people that his disciples came at night and stole away his body. So, while you slept. While you slept. Okay, so how do you know then? Baba, if you were sleeping, how do you know who stole it? How stupid is it to say, I was stealing and they stole it? You have no idea. And what's more, these are soldiers. If they fell asleep on the job, most likely it would cost them their life. That's why the elders here said, you know what, if it comes to the governor's ears that you were sleeping on duty, we'll appease him. We'll make it, we'll cover up for you. Now, not only these guys sleep really deeply, and they're also deaf. The Bible says there was a great earthquake. We just read it. There was a great earthquake, and the angels came and rolled away the stone. We're talking about a monster stone. Boom, bang, shum, earthquake. Still sleeping. I want to know what you take, because I want some of that. If you can sleep through an earthquake, we need your medication in California. And you can sleep through the stone rolling away. Man, oh man, you sleep deeply. Unless you are lying. And then, think about this. You know the disciples were hiding when Jesus got taken captive and was crucified? They went to a place, a little room, and they shut themselves in there. Of course, there's only 11 left because the one who denied him went and hung himself. Judas Iscariot. They're hiding in the room. They're afraid to go out. When Jesus comes into the room, the doors are all shut. He comes walking to the door and he says, "Peace, don't be afraid." I would need that as well. Coming through the doors, I'm hiding, and suddenly here you are. How did you get through the doors? How did you get through the windows? Doesn't matter. There's no windows. How did I walk through the... It doesn't matter. I'm here. Peace. These cowards turned into the bravest men that you could ever find on the earth, because they were transformed. And you know what? They never broke under pressure. When they were being martyred, they were not even afraid of being martyred. And they were actually martyred. They were killed and they were imprisoned and they were beaten. Now, how many of you would take any part of that for a lie that you had perpetrated? Think about it. We're lying about the resurrection. Okay, go ahead and beat me. Okay, it wasn't true. Enough. Okay, we're going to take your head off. You know, I changed my mind. I really wasn't there. You know, I really wasn't there. I was hiding. So if you let me go, I won't lie anymore. I promise you. They died for the resurrection that they saw and the Jesus they met who came from the dead. And we ought to be willing to do the same. But some doubted. I can't get over some doubted. Let's read about doubting Thomas. In John 20, verse 24, he was a twin. I don't know if you know this. Some of the, like the Old King James, uses the name Didymus, which actually means twin. It means twin. Thomas called Didymus, but it actually means twin. But I like the Old King James because it said Thomas Didymus, and I say, yes, he did miss. Now, one of the 12, Thomas, the doubter, was not with them when Jesus came, and the other disciples therefore said, "We have seen the Lord." And you thought Thomas would go, "Woo-wee, let's have a party, let's scream and shout. Where was he? How's he doing?" No. He said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." You understand? He's saying, I choose not to believe until I have felt something or seen something. Until I have felt or seen, I choose not to believe. Unless. What is your unless? Thomas had an unless. He said, "Unless I see or touch, I won't believe." Are you sitting here today with an unless? What is the unless in your life that's keeping you from serving God? What is the unless in your life that is stopping you from wholeheartedly giving your life to God and receiving Jesus as Savior and making heaven your home? What is your unless? After 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Again, he had to say peace because these little guys freaked out when he walked through the door. I mean, the door was shut. And he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side." The amazing thing is, Jesus was not present when Thomas said that. You don't think Jesus knows everything about you? What you say behind closed doors? You think he doesn't know about your unless? Because Jesus called his unless out. Out into the open. He says, "All right, go ahead. Touch me. Feel me. Put your hand aside." And then he says to Thomas, "Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Jesus said that Thomas was doubting or in unbelief because he wanted his five physical senses to verify that Jesus had risen. Hear me now. Any person you ever come across, and you might be sitting here today, if you're looking for something to verify your five physical senses, your intellect, science, something to verify that Jesus is real and that he's risen, according to Jesus, you're in unbelief. And he said, "Do not be unbelieving, but believing." So folks, when we begin to depend upon our physical senses to verify God and his word, we have stepped into the realm of unbelief. And in the realm of unbelief, God cannot move on your behalf because he would contradict his word, and he cannot do that. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." That's us. Give yourself a round of applause. Come on. We have believed, haven't seen, haven't touched, haven't felt it, but we believe. And Jesus blessed us. Say, "Jesus has blessed me." Say it again. "Jesus has blessed me." Say, "I'm blessed of Jesus because I believe without seeing." Come on, give yourself another round of applause. You see, the news of the resurrection spread rapidly. It went viral. As quick as they could, people were saying, "Have you heard about Jesus, that he's been risen from the dead?" And when this news spread, the people that heard this were alive at the crucifixion. Everybody knew about it. Everybody knew about what had happened that day and how he had been crucified. They were alive at the crucifixion. Therefore, when they heard that he'd risen from the dead, they could have contradicted that story. They could have contradicted it because they were there. But they didn't. They could have immediately said, "It's false. It's not true." But they didn't, because the news spread that he had risen from the dead. Let me show you from Scripture. Remember the book, God's book. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. "For I delivered to you," first of all, the Apostle Paul writes by the Holy Spirit, "that which I received," or also received, "that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." There was prophecies about this. "Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Again, prophetically it was said he would rise again. "And he," watch what he says, "he was seen by Cephas," which is Peter, "and by the 12," they had now elected a 12th person to replace Judas. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren. I guess there were sisters in there as well. At the same time. Now, I want you to know something. I've heard of people having hallucinations. But usually, it's them on their own in their own little hallucination. They enjoyed some weird thing in their own hallucination and they're telling you about it. It would be really difficult and actually impossible for 500 people to have the exact same hallucination. All at the same time, we all seeing Jesus. All at the same time. All hallucinating because we're all seeing Jesus. Right. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Yeah. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Yeah. Pinch yourself. I already did. Pinch your neighbor. Pinch. Everybody, pinch everybody. Bump somebody. Ask them if they're seeing this. 500 at one time. And listen to this. Of whom the greater part remained to the present. When this book was written, the majority of those 500 people were still alive at this time when this book was written. And then it says, but some have fallen asleep before they've died. After that, he was seen by James, that's his half-brother. Then by all the apostles, again. Then last, he was seen by me, also as one born out of due time. Now, people, this may be one of the most important scriptures in the whole Bible. And I'm going to show you why. I know you think John 3:16 is. And it's a beautiful scripture, and it's a powerful scripture. But you see, this portion of scripture gives account of eyewitnesses that saw Jesus alive after his crucifixion. This either validates that Jesus rose from the dead, or this is a lie. If this is a lie, Christianity is a giant hoax, and the Bible a complete fabrication. If that portion of Scripture is not true, that's all it takes. For him to lie that so many people saw him, and that not to be true, then Christianity is a hoax, and the Bible is a fabrication. Jesus predicted his death, and Jesus predicted his own resurrection. It was prophesied in the Bible. I want to show you the New Testament where Jesus said this. In Matthew 16 and 21, Jesus said, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Most people just read over that. And they don't realize that Jesus made 5 prophecies in that one statement. He predicted 5 events. 5 events. He said it's going to happen in Jerusalem. Number one. He said it's going to be the chief priests and the elders and the scribes that are going to do it. He was correct on that account as well. And then he said, according to this, that he'd be killed. Number 3. Then he said he'd be raised, number 4, and then he also said it would be on the third day. Jesus predicted clearly what was going to happen. 5 prophecies. I dare anybody here to make 5 predictions about your future for it to happen in the next year. This happened within a few weeks of Jesus saying, and it happened exactly as he said it. You see, the resurrection verifies that Jesus is the Christ, and it confirms that what he said was true. What he said here was true. See, if Jesus lied about the resurrection, if he said, I'm going to be raised from the dead, and he wasn't, what else did he lie about? If he lied about that, then surely we must dismiss all of his teachings. Because now we don't know what's true and what's false. Because he said he was going to be raised from the dead and he wasn't. Therefore, he obviously lied about being the Son of God. He lied about heaven. He lied about hell. He lied about all the things. But what did he tell the truth about? You'll never know. The resurrection, the fact of the resurrection verifies that everything Jesus said is true. Let's go and read something from Dr. Luke, because Dr. Luke tells us that Jesus actually produced many convincing proofs that he was resurrected. Dr. Luke wrote the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts, if you didn't know that. And I'm going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1. Now he's writing back to his friend, Theophilus, and he says, "The former account I made, Theophilus, to all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after, through the Holy Spirit, he had given commands to his apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom he had presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs." Luke says they were infallible proofs, and he was a doctor. Infallible proofs. But get ready, there's more. "Being seen by them during 40 days. Now, you know, I mean, you could doubt if you were all together in the room. Jesus comes in, says a few things, and then you never see him again. Gone. And you guys sit around and you say, "Man, what was in that wine that we were drinking with our food? Do you think that it really was Jesus?" "No, I don't know. I thought it was. Sounded like, looked like. But that, I mean, it was so quick and so sudden. Maybe we just imagined it. Maybe if it was only once." You see, you could have talked yourself out of it. But he appeared to them over a 40-day period. Over and over again. And not only them, to the woman, to 500 people, he appeared over and over again, because he remained on earth for 40 days after he was raised from the dead. The resurrection, my friend, is the foundation of Christianity. I know how important the cross is, and don't get me wrong. I know how important the cross is, and it means everything to us. But if Jesus was not raised from the dead, the cross would have been meaningless. It would have been just another man being brutally killed and placed on the cross. Because Christianity stands on this one fact, the resurrection. Because one can't be true without the other. Christianity is only true because Jesus was raised from the dead. And this is what we celebrate. Now, Paul goes through a lengthy discussion. There's two groups of people, Sadducees and Pharisees. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. That's why they were Sadducee. But there was also some Jewish people that didn't believe in it either. So he goes through this explanation, and I tell you, it's very confusing. So pay close attention. 1 Corinthians 15:12. "Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith also empty." That's what I told you. It depends upon the resurrection. Verse 15, "Yes, if we are found false witnesses of God," telling a lie about God, "because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up." If we lied and he didn't raise him up, if in fact the dead do not rise. If the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. Paul, get to the point. I am so confused already. Who's up and who's down? Seriously, is Christ risen? Or what's going on here? See, that's when I was a young Christian, I would read that. And I would go like, Paul, how did anybody ever understand you? He says, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And verse 17, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. We are still in our sins. We are justified because Christ rose from the dead. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood for us, but we are not made righteous or justified until he rose from the dead. Today is the most important day in the entire universe and in all Christendom, because today he rose from the dead. Today we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Today we are joint heirs together with him. Today we are seated with him in heavenly places, over powers and municipalities. Today we are victorious because Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus declared him to be the Son of God. In Romans 1 and verse 3, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Let me abbreviate verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Declared to be the Son of God because he was raised from the dead. Now let's get on our feet and let's rejoice about the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and today we are born again of the Spirit of God, and we thank him for what he did. Can we thank him for the resurrection? Can we give him praise and honor and glory because of the resurrection? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. The Bible said, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal bodies. He's going to do it twice. He's going to do it while you're on earth so you can live healthy. And then he's going to do it again so you can take off from this earth in a quickened body at the time of the rapture. You have to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you for this to happen. Amen? Come on, give God a shout. Come on. Thank you, Lord.